It's the Drive Guys.
Here are your hosts,
Kevin Gleason and Kyle Draper.
Hey, how about that?
Is that new?
Yeah.
Is that
brand new?
I'm like, hold on here.
Brand new, shiny new. Yeah,
I love
Kyle
it.
Draper is getting ready to do the Kings and the Warriors on Sunday night. So the big question, Kyle, and not to put any pressure on you, but I think we're all wondering, which of the people that contributed in the chat here are you going to mention during your telecast?
Oh, you want me to I'll tell you who I'm not going to mention, my boy Compio.
What?
He came into the chat throwing darts at me. He's like, has Draper hated on Brock Purdy yet? And I'm like, yeah, I did actually in the first couple minutes. And so, no, so definitely not that. I need people that show me love. I'm going to show you love on the radio and on TV. That's what I'm about.
Okay.
Compio ain't one of them. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He ain't enough.
I thought you would, especially being a Philly guy, you would respect that. He brings it. He tells you what he's really thinking and feeling.
No, right? I get it. But, you know, when his opinions and thoughts on things are wrong, I'm not going to vibe with that. You know what I mean? His takes are wrong takes. So why would I hype him up?
All right. So it's still wide open.
Yeah.
You know, let us know what you think here. Who knows? Maybe Kyle will choose a comment of the day. No, we're just kidding. We know you got a ton of things to get
ready
for.
I'm a professional.
You
I would never do something like
that. You got to be excited about getting your first call of the year for the Kings and the Warriors.
Yeah, I am. And, you know, just like the players, what I'm most excited about is being back in the building with the fans. You know, to be honest with you, feeling that energy from the fan base, feeling the venom towards the Warriors, you know, I would like nothing more than to just sit there and absorb, you know, the Golden One atmosphere. That's what I missed these last 5 months or so. It's just being around my people at the arena, seeing the ushers, seeing the security guys, seeing some of the workers behind the scenes. You know, when you walk in there, it's sort of like a family reunion every night. Now, I haven't seen these guys in like 5.5 months, so I'm excited.
You know my guy, Sean Rogers, your security guy. You know,
oh, yeah.
Went to grammar school with him.
Did you really?
I did, yeah. We played basketball against each other.
Let me ask you this, though, real quick. Do they say grammar school anymore? Or is it elementary? Or like, what is, like, what's,
elementary,
I just,
school.
What's,
you knew
grammar,
what I meant.
No, what's, but the, what's grammar school? Like, what's the eight, like, is that K through
six?
Six?
Isn't
okay,
it?
All right.
I thought.
I just wasn't sure, like, or is it K
sorry,
through
elementary
eight?
Elementary school. Because there's
just
middle
saying,
school.
I'm just
grammar
saying.
Grammar school.
No, but that's, I'm trying to educate myself, because when people say grammar school, is that everything up to high school?
No,
or is
I don't,
that K through five
so.
Or something like
I
that?
I thought it was through six, and then you got
through
middle
six,
school.
And then you got middle
and
school.
You got high school.
All right. Yeah. You learn something new every day. I'm not trying to mock you or come at you. I needed to know just for myself, right?
You know, he was with the 49ers briefly. I mentioned that.
Because,
A, it's very impressive.
Yep.
B, we got the 49ers and the Browns this week. And the Cleveland Browns, they say they're ready for the 49ers. Can you imagine that? I mean, the undisputed favorite to win the Super Bowl this year. Undisputable. Not only undisputed, but undisputable. And they say they're ready for him.
You know, I don't like this if I'm Cleveland. I get it. You may feel that inside. But this sounds an awful lot like Dallas leading up to that game, you know? It's going to be a war. It's a big game, you know? We're going to be ready for it. And then you get smacked upside the head. And so I don't like if I'm Cleveland, you know, show respect obviously to them, but I would say you're not hearing that from the Niners. The Niners aren't saying it's going to be, you know, Shanahan gave them some love. It's going to be the toughest test or anything like that. But it sounds like to me, this is Cleveland's Super Bowl, right?
Even the great, great 49er teams, they never went there.
Right.
Like Ronnie Lott and those guys, they would bend over backwards to praise the other team.
Right.
And then they would destroy them.
We'll be ready for them. You know, that's, you know, we're going to give them our best light. It's just, you know what? Just be quiet. You know, it's going to be a great football game. You know, we've been working hard. They've been working hard. And, you know, I feel like, you know, the Browns, it's sort of like they're trying to hype themselves up, make themselves believe that they're going to be ready.
I've told this story before, and please correct me or stop me if I've told it to you. Right before the 49ers played the Dolphins in the Super Bowl, remember Mark Clayton, Mark Duper?
Yeah.
They were talking about how they were going to torch the 49ers, and there was a big scrum, you know, a pre-Super Bowl week, media day, whatever it was, And so there's all the 49ers are there. And I walked like right up to Ronnie Lott, who's sitting there. Ronnie, you know, Duper Clayton, they say they're going to, you know, destroy you guys way better than your secondary. What do you think of that? And he looked at me and he goes, you know, they're probably right. And he said, there, you look at the right. yards they put up, blah, 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 blah. Totally, you know, straight face. And then you saw what happened during the game.
Exactly.
That's old school now. Not a lot of teams do that. But I think there's a lot to be said for that approach.
Well, you know, here's the thing. If you really believe it, you don't have to say it. You know, if you're Cleveland, if you really believe you're going to be ready, if you really believe you got a shot to win, you don't have to tell anybody. And so, you know, this Browns defense, we know how great it is. It's going to be great. But they just can't score enough points to right. keep up with the Niners. I've said it, you know, 17 points might be able to get it done. Mm-hmm. I just don't see how the Browns move the ball this week.
Grant Delpit is a Browns safety. Grant Delpit. He mm-hmm. said, they've got to see us at the end of the day. They're coming to our house. Like I've said before, they're a great team right now. Their quarterback is playing probably the best in the league. That's a quote, by the way.
But keep on reading what he said.
And the scheme fits him.
Exactly.
They have a great defense. But like I said, man, they are riding their high horse right now. That's probably the best time to get them. I mean, I guess, you know, everybody's got to lose eventually.
Right, and, right, right.
I don't know if this is the best time to be playing the 49ers.
Yeah, and the thing about it, I don't know if the 49ers are arrogant or, you know, coming off that way. Like, so I don't get that vibe from the team.
No.
Like, you know, they feel like they're better than everybody else. They're arrogant or the fan base, yes, the fan base feels that way, but I don't get that vibe from the team.
Right.
The team is going about their business week in and week out.
It's almost wishful thinking.
Yeah.
They're riding their high horse. Well, they're not acting that way. They're just playing
right.
well.
They're just playing well.
Yeah.
They're not talking trash, even though Kittle did, you know, but that was after the game. They're not going in thinking they're going to steamroll any, or at least talking about steamrolling, you know. They've shown nothing but respect, I think, for their opponents so far. You know, Kyle Shanahan talking about this matchup this week, saying Cleveland is going to be the toughest team we've played so far this season. And so, like I said, I think it's the Browns just trying to geek themselves up a little bit, fire themselves mm-hmm. up.
Yeah, Delpit said they're a great team right now. Nobody has been able to stop them. They don't turn the ball over a lot. They get a lot of takeaways. They have a unique scheme on offense. We run a similar defense to them that they run, so they've seen it before. It's going to be a war. We're ready for it.
They did too much talking, Whitey.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Denzel
Play
Ward said, I think we match up well. So they think they match up well, and they think the 49ers are riding their high horse, so they're getting them at a good time. That's a really interesting point that Delpit made. Mm-hmm. The 49ers have practiced against this defense a lot because it's the
exactly.
defense they run.
Right.
And you can't tell me that the Browns run it that much better than the 49ers. So that's yeah. not an advantage.
That's not an advantage, right? They've been working on this all week, you know, and all season long. And so I just think, you know, these are the two top defenses in the NFL. And the only way the Browns have a shot, and we talked off air about this, is if Brock Purdy has one of those games where he struggles. Like, he comes back down to earth a little bit. I don't know if it's going to happen. I'm not saying that.
This would be the type of game where, honestly, where it would make
yeah,
sense.
Yeah, and what's
happen.
The weather going to be out there in Cleveland?
I'm
going
to have to
look that up.
It could be soggy.
Yeah, if it's soggy a little bit, you're going to have to, if you're the Browns, you're going to have to turn the Niners over two or three times, I think. Give your offense a short field. Keep their offense off the field as well. It got to be a ball possession kind of game if you're the Browns. But they're doing too much talking for me, you know. And I know reporters are going into the locker room asking questions. It's part of media availability. But, man, it's I think we match up well. It's going to be a war. We're ready for it. It's like, dude, we're talking about a football game, man. Calm down.
Yeah, that's sometimes it. That sounds like too much. Like, you don't even believe it. Good
right,
for you.
Right.
You're trying to talk yourself out of the notion that we got no chance
yeah.
in this game. You know how quickly things change. Correct me if I'm wrong, 49er fan. I think the last time the 49ers were in Cleveland, I think they lost to Johnny Manziel.
Really?
Yeah. And that was not 2015. Maybe they've been back there since, but I think that's the last time the 49ers were in Cleveland. I think Johnny Manziel beat them.
Wow.
So it's been a while.
Do you think the Browns have a shot?
A little bit, because their defense is so good, and especially if the conditions are such that it's hard to get offensive traction. You know what I mean? Don't you? Mm-hmm. That's probably mm-hmm. their only best chance, but it's not a very large one.
Yeah, I'm looking at the weather report right now. 55 and sunny.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not sunny. 55 and rainy.
Okay.
On Sunday, it's looking like out there.
So, you know, if you're the Browns, it's like we talk all the time in basketball. And you know this better than I do. Basketball, you play in a better team. You want to limit possessions mm-hmm. and slow it down. And so that's what the Browns have to do with P.J. Walker. You want to see a game manager? You watch P.J. Walker this week.
But the problem is he doesn't have the weapons to be a game manager. There's no Nick Chubb out there.
I know.
You know? And so if he had all his weapons, even if Deshaun Watson was playing, I would give the Browns a puncher's chance. But, you know, what was the line? 7 last time we checked. I've got to see if it's moved since then. To me, the Niners got to be a lock, right? Like
you would think.
And if you look at it, the Browns, too, they're coming off of scoring 3 points last time out. Last time they played in that 28-3 loss to the Ravens. No Deshaun Watson. And so I just don't see how this offense moves the ball. Because look at it. The Cowboys offense, infinitely better than with the Browns offense. And they couldn't do anything against this Niners defense. This Niners defense is clicking right now.
You know, the line would be higher, but the 49ers are on the road. But the thing is, as we discussed last week, for most of the year, if not all the year, I don't know if it changed last weekend, the road teams have won more games than the home teams
in the
NFL this year.
Yeah, but that doesn't come into play this week, Whitey. It's, you know, I know the line doesn't suggest this is a huge, you know, discrepancy between these two teams.
You like those home dogs, don't you?
I do. Owner,
yeah, you're going to go. You like
not,
the Browns.
But not this one. Not this one. I'll have to look up the lines, and I'll give you somebody I actually like. You know, I like the Vikings last week. That didn't pan out
There's
for me.
There's one home dog I really like this week.
Really?
My Bears, man.
Oh, shoot.
But we'll get to that.
Oh,
when we come back, Chiefs-Broncos last night, yes. The pregame was much more interesting than the game. And if you didn't hear it, we'll have it for you next year in the Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports. I know people don't necessarily like to talk much baseball right now, and I understand that. It's the fall convergence, and we got basketball starting and hockey starting, and football's well underway, and the baseball postseason is raging on. But I did think last night, to me, watching your team, the Phillies, playing against the Braves, it was more interesting than the Thursday night football game, which was the Chiefs and then, you know, those pathetic the Broncos tearing up the middle of the field.
Yeah, you know, it turned out to be, you know, in terms of score, you know, a competitive game. But like I said, I don't think anybody was ever worried that the Chiefs were going to lose. And the Broncos just aren't a fun team to watch right now. They're just not, you know, entertaining.
Remember we were talking about when we left the air yesterday, we were talking about that spread, 10.5, and it was 19-8. Interesting.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
see? Somebody Vegas was on top of that. I think I probably would have taken the over, and so it would have just covered on that.
Wow. Mm-hmm. What was interesting about that telecast last night, it started in the pregame show, Steve Smith Sr., who I loved watching when he played.
Yes.
He was so tough. I felt like he was going to make any catch. He and Jerry Jeudy apparently have some kind of feud going. Steve Smith, I believe he explains it here, but this was Steve Smith Sr. Talking on the pregame show last night about Broncos receiver Jerry Jeudy and some friction between the two of them.
A short while ago, Broncos wide receiver Jerry Jeudy was walking by and Steve called out to him. And he got a different reaction.
I called out to him because on my podcast, Cut To It, I just talked about guys that maybe have not showed up in a way or in a manner. And so the word that I've used to describe him in the past was a jag, just a guy.
Just a guy.
And so when I saw him, he's playing well. I wanted to say to him face to face, like, hey, I know I said some things in the past I probably shouldn't have, and I'm sorry. That's what I wanted to say to him. His response, Mike Robb and Bucky, was ninja.
Ninja?
Yes, I'm using the word ninja. I'm just using the word ninja. I don't mess with you. And it was a curse word. And so I was like, all right. And then he repeated it. So I'll say it again. I'm sorry that I said you were a jag, just a guy who's an average wide receiver they use a first-round pick on that isn't doing anything. I hope today that you actually show up in a way that you haven't showed up in the last couple of years since they drafted you. So if you ever got a problem with Agent 89, I'm sorry for saying that you're an average wide receiver that they eventually will move on. And when teams call me and asking, should they trade for you? I will say, no, don't trade for Jerry Jeudy, because he's mentally unable to handle constructive criticism from people who watch specifically, can he be a wide receiver? He could be a wide receiver. He's a tier three. Go back into the studio. I'm done now. Thank you.
He called him a tier three. He called him a tier three. Ouch.
That was Steve Smith Sr. and Mike Garofalo on the NFL Network Thursday night pregame show. And he literally did. Like, yeah, go back to studio. Yeah. I'm out. Well played.
Well played. And, you know, kudos to Steve Smith Jr., you know, or senior. He could have taken a more, what should
nuanced.
I call it? Like, yeah, nuance. Yeah, like, but he was direct to the point, but he was very calm in his delivery, you know? And I'm listening to it and I'm like, oh, he's taking the high road. But then when you actually hear the words that he's saying, he's right. Like taking shot after shot after shot of this guy. But to Steve Smith's point, Jerry Jeudy has been a disappointment in Denver. He's underachieved. Brandon Ayuk was drafted 10 spots after him in the 2020 draft. Brandon Ayuk, 20 touchdown receptions. You know, Jeudy, just 9. So Judy's just another guy right now.
And we have more.
Do
by
we?
The way, during that, and obviously you couldn't see it there,
yeah.
But Jerry Jeudy was behind him at one point, and he was doing this crazy dance. I like Steve Smith Sr., but I'd also say, well, whatever Jerry Jeudy told you, sounds like you're not handling it well either.
No,
you know
right,
what I mean?
Right, right, right.
You didn't handle that.
He was clearly upset, and no, you're right. I like it, though, because, you know, if Jerry Judy's going to approach me like that, well, I got the big platform. I got the microphone. I got the national audience, and I'm going to use it.
Yeah. This was a post-game, more from Steve Smith Sr.
You know, I don't know if Russ saw Jerry Jeudy on that. Did you see him?
Listen, this is a time for me where when I used to play, I would engage and I love that. But right now, I'm 44 years old. I don't need to have this drama, and I also don't need to have any problems on the sideline for me doing something that will jeopardize not just me, but him. And I'll be honest, and I have to say it just like this. One of the biggest problems we have in the media, especially as a young black man, is sometimes black-on-black crime. I'm not going to participate in that. And I'm not going to engage where the national media can see two young African-American men acting like we ain't got no sense. He didn't like what I said. That's fine. I wanted to talk to him. He didn't like it. So we move on. But I'm not going to lose my job. And two, I'm not going to disrespect my family by showing that I have not matured and handle my business the way I should handle my business. We got a flight to catch to London. We got things to do. We ain't got time to be watching a dude do nothing.
You see, you had to get that last dig in there, right? I ain't got time for this. I'm going to take
really
the high.
Good.
When they go low, I'm going to go high. I ain't got time to be dealing with this nobody.
Yeah,
you know, basically,
right.
That's what he said.
Right. Like, we're going here. Everything's fine. Before I go.
Damn.
Yeah.
I love it. Steve Smith is a national treasure, man. It's but to his point, he tried to go over to Jeudy before the game and apologize for what he had said earlier about him, calling him just another guy. And Jeudy obviously caught up.
Which, by the way, isn't really that bad, and it was warranted.
Yeah, it was warranted. And you know, and then last night, Jeudy had a chance to do something about it. 3 catches, 14 yards. You look at the Broncos' numbers at receiver this season.
Well, he can't throw the ball to himself.
Yeah, that's true. But when you look at the Broncos' receiving, Courtland Sutton, a better receiver. Marvin Sims, a better receiver as well. Jerry Judy's 3rd on the team in receiving yards. This is a first-round pick, number 15 overall
pick.
Is he
tier 3? You're saying he's tier 3?
He's tier 3, right? I just pointed out this season he is tier 3 with this Broncos team.
I think we also have some brief comments from Jerry Jeudy himself on this whole situation.
Jerry, a little bit of drama before the game with Steve Smith Sr. I'm wondering what your thoughts are on that right now.
Man, that was a tough loss, man. I feel like at the end of the game, I feel like we could have got there, but, you know, they had a
a good drive at the end.
Jerry, Steve Smith said he had some kind of conversation with you before the game. Did that not go well, or based on what he said on air on NFL Network?
I don't remember that. You know, but like I said, you know, it was a close game. We just got to finish at the end of the game.
That's a smart way
he
to play.
He took the high road. Yeah,
well,
he,
also because he's overmatched.
Right, right. It's an argument or a debate or whatever confrontation he can't win.
Yeah, you can take the knife to the gunfight or just not
right,
go anywhere
or just
near
not
the
even.
Fight.
I'm not even going to engage in this. You know what happened? What is what happened? And the only way Jerry Jeudy can really come back at Steve Smith is to perform on the field. And like you say, he can't throw the ball to himself. And so he might be behind eight ball, you know, all season long when it comes to this.
Do you think, will there be any ramifications, any fallout for Steve Smith?
Nah, heck no. I don't
mean,
think.
The best thing is he was honest. That's the,
right.
You know, that's one of the things why people love like the show on TNT,
yeah.
Inside the NBA, because yeah. Those guys, all four of them,
right.
They're honest.
And, you know, when you're in that role, there will come a time where you say something that players don't agree with. We've seen NBA players, Kevin Durant most notably, you know, disagree with what Charles Barkley. They have like a little bit of a feud. I mean, that just comes with the territory. And I do like the way that Steve Smith handled it, though. No curse words, no bad language, you know, didn't call him anything really disrespectful. He's just another guy, which the numbers indicate. And so I like the way Steve Smith handled it. He walked that fine line, and I don't think he crossed it last night.
Just, boy, somebody should write a book about what a debacle this whole Denver season has been, huh? This
yeah.
would be an interesting, maybe not even a whole chapter, but part of a chapter, because this thing is going sideways every which way.
Yeah, and did you see what RG3, Robert Griffin III, tweeted out about the Broncos last night? He said, the Broncos aren't playing to win football games. They're playing to win the blame game. That's what happens when Sean Payton comes in throwing shade at a Super Bowl winning QB, Russell Wilson, every chance he gets. The locker room will implode because no one in it believes the coach has their best interest at heart. And that goes back to what we said earlier in the show. If you're in that locker room, do you believe Sean Payton is the guy to lead you on this day?
Yeah, and where do they go from
right.
here? They've already started kind of dismantling it, getting rid of some of their more expensive defensive players.
Right.
So that's really a mess. They're in no man's land right now.
Right. They're in no man's land, and you can't trade Russell Wilson, not with that contract. His value is low right now, and so they're stuck. I mean, what are you going to do with Russ? Like, let's say you are tanking, you know, for Caleb Williams or a May or somebody like that. Let's say you draft him. What do you do with Russell Wilson? You got to write a big check, you know, to give him his guaranteed money and say goodbye. Like, they are stuck right now.
Yeah, nobody wants him. Yeah, trade him for James Harden.
Right, know, right.
Potential deal. Ruin there. When we come back, how this week's 49er foe has managed to just totally botch the most important position in sports. Drive, guys. Sacktown Sports. Getting you ready for a big,
yeah,
Sacramento Sports Weekend. Drive, guys, with the 49ers and the Browns playing Sunday. Hear that game here on Sacktown Sports. And also we have the Kings and the Warriors preseason basketball Sunday. Kyle Draper's going to have the call on NBC Sports California.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could say there may be a little bit more at stake for the Kings than there typically is in a preseason game. They're playing the Warriors. That means a little extra something. Plus, the Kings at some point want to start playing better.
Yeah, exactly. If you're Sacramento, you can't be happy with what you've seen from your squad the last first two games of the preseason. And with a team with so much expectations, not just externally but internally, you would like to see them sharpen things up. They take on the Warriors. If I'm correct, the Warriors play the Lakers tonight also. So keep an eye if Steph and those guys play tonight. I don't know if they'll play on Sunday.
It's an ESPN game tonight, I
yeah,
think.
Yeah, it
so.
Is. It is. Yeah. You look all dejected over there. You're like, national TV. I don't know if that applies during the preseason, though, this new.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
It's really weird. I know we touched on it yesterday, and we go round and around on it because of the way the league handles the load management question. You can get an ice cream headache, but it's just really weird how the league, as recently as last year's All-Star game, you had the commissioner saying, yeah, we, you know, fans are fine with it. That's not load management's not an issue. We're good. And then now you've got Joe Dumars in the league saying, oh, we players need to play every
right,
game.
Right.
How they did a 180 that quickly. And, oh, the science is really not conclusive. And I read today, I think, who was it wrote a story today? David, anyway, somebody wrote a story in The Athletic quoting a coach as saying, there's a lot of evidence showing that the load management is beneficial to players, but the league just doesn't want to talk about
it. Right. They, you know, and the league is caught in between a rock and a hard place, because I get it. You got sponsors, you got fans, you know, they pay to see LeBron, they pay to see all these big name guys. I get it. And you want, if you're in a league, you want every single game to matter throughout the season. You know, you want all the players out there always. You want, you know, competitive games every single night. You want teams trying hard, no tanking or anything like that every single night. But that's not the reality in which we live in. And if you're a team that is trying to win a championship, let's say, and you need to make sure your star player is healthy, like LeBron James, for instance, dude's 39 years old. Does he really need to play 82 games? You know, I would argue, and Joe Dumars may say the science doesn't back it up, but the wear and tear, logging the minutes that he already, that adds up. It's just common sense, right?
It sure is.
It's just common sense. And so
you don't need to do a study.
Right. You don't need to do a study on that. And so I'm not, you know, I don't think it'll change much, to be honest with you, Whitey. Mm-hmm. I you know, this, these new league rules, I think – guys will still find a way to get their rest in.
Yeah. By the way, it was David Aldridge.
Oh, yeah,
wrote
DA.
The piece today. Yeah, absolutely. Before we get back to the 49ers, we were just talking about Steve Smith, and we heard the audio of Steve Smith going after Judy last night, Jerry Judy.
Yeah.
And so Jay raised an interesting question here during the break, and we're just wondering if Kyle Draper, broadcaster, has had any issues with players that he'd be willing to share with us here.
Not a whole lot, but
I'll tell you.
Yeah, thanks, Jay, for coming with that.
He's producing.
Dude, I love telling stories because I got a million of them. Sort of like our guy, Jerry Reynolds, that we're going to talk to coming up in about an hour or so. But when I was in Boston, I used to do the pre- and post-game for the Celtics. And Marcus Morris Sr., who I'm actually a fan of, he's a Philadelphia guy, so we have that in common. So I go to the game.
So he's your guy.
Right. It's a Friday night. The arena is buzzing. I'm working for NBC Sports Boston, and one of my coworkers comes to me and says, Kyle Drapes, you better not go into the locker room, man. You better not go into the locker room. I'm like, wow, I always, you know, I ain't scared of no locker room. That's what I do. I'm always in the locker room. He's like, Marcus Morris Sr. is out to get you. He came up to me and was like, yo, where's your boy Kyle at? And I'm like, and you know, Marcus Morris Sr. has a reputation. It's not like he's this choir boy, nice guy. Like, you know, I think he's about that light. Like, he would throw hands if he was upset enough. And so I stayed out on the floor and I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. He said, yeah, you said something on the post game show the other day. And so I'm like, man, whatever. So I'm out on the floor. Marcus Morris Sr. comes out and comes up to me. I'm ready to do battle. I'm like, let's go. Let's go. Let's make it happen. He goes, yo, man, what were you saying the other night about me struggling? You said I was struggling the other night. And I was like, dude, you were struggling. You struggled. You were 3 of 15 from the field, you know? And I told him, and I'm sure to Steve Smith's point and everybody that covers a team, when you play well, I will praise you. I'll be your biggest cheerleader, especially in that role as Celtics pre- and post-game host. When you play well, I will be your biggest cheerleader, your biggest fan. But when you don't, I got to call it out. I got to call it like I see it. The only way to cure that is play better. Same thing with Jerry Judy. The only way to shut Steve Smith up is play better. And you know what, Whitey? Me and Marcus Morris Sr., we're cool to this day. And so we had that little beef. That little, you know, it was like at midcourt too. Like the lights were dim. The music was eerie and everything. It was like a Western out there. You know what I mean? We were about to do battle. But we had that conversation. And ever since then, we're cool, yeah, man.
He was testing you and he knew. Really, it sounds like from what you say, you didn't really criticize him. You stated a fact.
Right.
3 for 15.
Right.
Someone is struggling.
Right. You're struggling.
No matter who it is.
He took it personally. And I'm like, nah, dude, like, especially me, you know, I'm always, you know, most of the time I'm a player, fan. I'm a fan of players. I want them to succeed. I want them to do well. But yeah, so we had that beat. There's another one with Rajon Rondo. I don't want to get into. It was in San Antonio.
You want to hear the Rajon Rondo story?
Yeah, no, that's for another day, man. That's for another. Maybe we'll get Rajon.
On, we're on the topic, and you brought it up.
No, Rajon Rondo got mad at him. So when you go in the locker room, and you guys have been in the locker room before, there's a segment of the reporters that go in that are there not to ask questions, but they're just to lurk, hang out or whatever, loiter, if you will. And so this game in San Antonio, Rajon Rondo had had enough. He's like, you know, and he used some bad language. Man, what y'all all up in here in this locker room standing around for, you know?
Did he say ninja?
No, he didn't say ninja, but he did drop a B word maybe
okay,
in there.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And so I went up to interview him, you know, and I said, hey, man, I want to ask you about Paul Pierce. And he used some language, you know, he was in a bad mood or something, but he said something sort of X-rated. Like, I can't even begin to say what he said.
When he knows that you can't use that.
Right. Yeah. No, but he was mad at, like,
me.
Why you want to ask me about Paul Pierce? Like, he was in a mood that day. And Pierce was his teammate. And so he used some bad words and bad language. And come to find out, years later, I was talking to Scal about it. And I was like, Scal, what's up with your boy Rondo? He said X, Y, and Z. And Scal's like, oh, he said that? Oh, that means, like, they had a different language inside the locker room than normal people do. So when Rondo said, you want me to blank, 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 in his eyes, it meant you want me to hype up Paul Pierce. You want me to talk good about him. I thought he was taking the X-rated version, like he was saying something X-rated. And so we got into it a little bit. It turned into a whole scene with newspaper reporters and everything. But, man, I miss the locker room covering, you know. I miss stuff like that, interactions with, like, that's how you earn your stripes, Whitey, you know. And I've always wanted to be one of the guys that I didn't want to be a person talking about sports but you never saw in the locker room. Like, for me, I just couldn't do it. In Boston, there's a bunch of guys, you know, they're throwing haymakers left and right. Hey, and I wanted to always go into the locker room. If I said something, I always wanted to be present the next day.
Now, do you have the same access? Does everyone have the same access as we did pre-pandemic?
Yes. Okay, everything's back to normal now. Yes. Yeah, it's great. Everything's, as a matter of fact, I just got the text from the Kings. Anytime you want to come to practice, Drapes, you're more than welcome. Come watch us practice as many times as you want. So I'm all in. Man, I'm going to be at practice every day now. Because usually you got to
see the whole practice?
Yeah, I sit and watch the whole practice.
Okay, because sometimes, you know, at the old practice facility, they'd have the media, there'd be a screen there.
No, I sit and watch the whole practice, and usually I got to ask for permission each day.
Yeah.
They just told me, no need to ask for permission. Just let us know when you're coming by.
Excellent.
That's what I'm talking about, baby. So I'll have plenty of good stuff for us.
Yeah, and again, Kyle has the call, and it's amazing. You've got a lot of fans all of a sudden on the chat.
Oh, really? People are on the chat?
Yeah, because they think, hey, have I ever told you how much I love Kyle? They're thinking that they'll get a mention on the
It's funny. They probably want tickets. You know, I went to pick up lunch today. This guy saw my shirt. Hey, you work for the Kings? I'm like, yeah, what's up, man? I'm excited for it. He's like, can I get a couple tickets? I'm like, bruh, you're killing me, man. Like, it's like, I wish I had access like that. I should have went Steve Smith. I should have, man. But everybody wants Kings tickets nowadays. It's a great thing. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, it's a lot better than it used to be. I don't want your tickets. I shouldn't say that. So we'll move on. We had season tickets for a time, and sometimes we couldn't use the tickets. And it was difficult to find people that wanted them. That's
right.
That's awesome.
And think about it, too, though. When I first moved here, and I don't know if it's the same right now, but you used to be able to get tickets for Kings games at Costco. Like, now, I don't know if they'll be there anymore. I don't know. But I always thought that weird. Like, you know, they were sort of discounted. I'm like, you go to Costco for the deals. Like,
not
Kings,
anymore.
We not about that. We up right now, you know?
George Kittle's fine with a T-shirt fine, and he got a bigger fine than we thought he would get. And as promised here, look at the Cleveland Browns' rich and curious quarterback history when we come right back. Drive, guys! Friday, Sacktown Sports.
Woo!
Thanks to Kyle Draper for sharing his own version of inside Boston Celtics locker room. Tremendous stories.
We got, there's some great ones, man. We need like an after show, like a unfiltered kind of Patreon kind of show afterwards where we can tell all our old stories that aren't fit for air or something like that.
We can do that when we're doing our show at, you know, wherever we decide to do it. We were out somewhere.
Out
before
somewhere?
Game, after before game, game, whatever. After. Yeah, I don't know. I have a few, but I don't know if I could compete with your, you know, your Rondo story.
Mine are a little X-rated or R-rated or whatever you want to call it. Like, you know, put the kids to bed before I tell some of these stories, man. You know, with Kevin Garnett and Rondo and those guys. I mean, those guys, you know, they were cursed just to say hi to you. You know, it's like you walk in, what's up, KG? Instead of saying, yo, what's up? It'd be like, what's up, you know, and like,
yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
Like, even our hellos were R-rated, man. It was crazy. Oh, man, those were the days.
Yeah. Speaking of X-rated, George Kittle has been fined by the NFL. He expected one, and he had said on Bay Area radio, he said, I don't care. I'd do it again. This was before he knew what the fine was. He's just, I'm good with it. I don't worry about it. I'd do it again. But, you know, we had talked about, Kyle, how he could have been fined for displaying a personal message on the field. And there's a fine schedule the NFL has. That's $10,927. So, you know, it's like a menu. You get this.
Right, right.
So people thought, well, that'll be the fine. He actually was fined $13,659.
Oh, a little extra.
Yeah, for unsportsmanlike conduct. So that was the official fine for the bleep Dallas t-shirt.
See, this is why I can't root for George Kittle, though. Like, no, I'm joking. I'm not going to have no fake outrage over this. You know, people be like, oh, Drapes, you just hate the Niners. No, it's not about that. You know what? And Kittle said he would do it again, too. You know, he said, you know what? All right, I'll take the fine. Fine me, whatever. But he would do it again. And so I don't have any problem with it. Just don't let it become a trend around the league, you know? And I get why the NFL would fine him.
You know why I had a little bit of a problem with it? And this is, I know I'm in the minority. And Kyle Shanahan said, it's no big deal. It's like WWE. And if his coach is fine with it, his teammates are fine with it, then who cares what I think? But to me, there was no reason to do that. You were going to beat the stuffing out of Dallas anyway.
Right. But
so why, you know, who knows? Down the road, maybe when you play them, who knows when it is. But maybe, you know, circumstances for you aren't their best and you give them a little extra fuel. And maybe it makes a difference. Maybe not. But I just don't understand why you give them that opportunity. There was just no need because you were going to demolish them anyway.
Let me ask you this, because we grew up around the same time, but you've been around here a lot longer than I have. When you look at the Niners Cowboys, yes, it's a rivalry. Yes, they, you know, played each other in big games, especially, you know, decades ago. Where would you say the rivalry is right now, though, compared to those 80s, 90s rivalries?
Now is only a rivalry because of those games. It's not added chapters.
Right.
It's like, hey, this is a big game. Why? Because remember the games,
back
what
then.
They used to
have? Yeah.
Even though they've played in the playoffs the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Because the 49ers right now are so clearly the better team.
Right. And so I ask that because why does George Kittle feel, you know, like the need to do that when, in my opinion, it's not that much of a rivalry anymore? You know, and sure, they played, like you said, the last two postseasons. Sure, you know, because of yesteryear. But, you know, there haven't been many chapters in this rivalry in the last 30 years, you know?
Right.
And so, I get it. It's Dallas. It's a big game. But why the F Dallas? Mm-hmm. You know, why is, you know, is there, I get it. You know, you hate them. They're your rival from, but, you know, when I look at it, I could argue that Seattle's a bigger rival right now. I could argue, you know, right now, Philadelphia's your rivalry right now. Sort of like the Kings and the Lakers. We know that's the rivalry, right? It goes back. But right now, I could argue the Warriors are the bigger rival right now.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the other factor, though, in this case is, as we know, he wore the shirt because, in a way, it was homage to Gary Plummer, who wore the same shirt.
94, right?
Yeah, years and years and years ago.
Yeah.
So fans loved it. His teammates apparently loved it. His coach was okay with it. So I get it. That's a win. I just, part of me wonders why you needed to do that there. Maybe it won't matter, but you just didn't need to do that. It's almost like Nixon bugging the Democrats at Watergate. It's like, you were going to win.
right.
Not
right.
A very timely reference. I know. It's like, you were going to win anyway. Why? You didn't need to.
Our
that.
Listeners under 40 are like, what? Huh? What? What are you talking about?
I know.
What's going on?
I don't know why. That's what it reminded me. I was like, well, okay.
But
it wasn't necessary.
The only reason, you know, if I'm Kittle, it's necessary to flash it the way he did after the game, as if something transpired during the game. Maybe you had it on and you weren't meaning to, you know, come out and open up your jersey. But then, you know, some of the dirty plays against CMC. Maybe there's some trash talk. Maybe they pissed you off on the field.
I hadn't thought of that.
And maybe that's why you're so demonstrative with it after the game.
That's a good thought. I hadn't thought of that. So he wouldn't necessarily have let anyone know that he was wearing it, maybe.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
This Sunday, of course, it's the 49ers and the Cleveland Browns, and it looks like starting at quarterback for the Browns will be P.J. Walker, and bless him. He actually has played against the 49ers before. He came in a couple years ago, kind of mop-up duty for the Panthers when they played the 49ers. But if he starts Sunday, and it appears he will, then he will be the 36th different starting quarterback for the Browns since 1999 when they returned to the NFL. Because they went to Baltimore, then that team became the Ravens. So then 1999.
I'm trying to think. Who was there the best of the best? Well, you know, over the last 25 years.
Can you look at that?
Yeah, I see. Yeah, yeah, you got the list there.
You know, since 1999, you could take Prince's 1999 and replace the names of these quarterbacks with the lyrics, and you'd probably make it through most, you know.
Tim Give me Couch, some of those names.
Doug Peterson, Spurgeon, Wynn.
My boy Tim Couch was there, right?
Kelly Hogan, man. Jeff Garcia, Luke McCown, Trent Dilfer, Brady Quinn. Like that. You could do almost the whole song or a lot of the song. Charlie Fry, Derek Anderson, Ken Dorsey, Bruce Gradkowski, Colt McCoy, Jake Delhomme, Seneca Wallace, local guy, Brandon Whedon, Thad Lewis, Jason Campbell, Brian Hoyer, Johnny Manziel, Connor Shaw, Josh McCown, Austin Davis, Cody Kessler, RG3, Deshaun Kaiser, Kevin Hogan, Baker Mayfield, Tyrod Taylor, Case Keenum, Nick Mullins, Jacoby Brissett, Deshaun Watson, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, and PJ Walker.
That is pathetic. And who's the best of the best out of that bunch? Like, who had the strongest tenure as Browns quarterback out of that bunch? It's exactly. I stumped you right. Like, seriously, I mean, have they had anybody, you know, 3-4 years in a row? You know, five? Probably not. Like, they have not had stability at that position.
No. Most of these guys have done something somewhere, but it hasn't necessarily
been in Cleveland. Yeah.
Remember, Baker Mayfield, just a few years ago.
He was supposed to be the guy.
Yeah, Hard Knocks, and he was going to be the next Brett Favre, and they had Tyrod Taylor. He's starting this week. Tyrod Taylor, I think, is starting for the Giants this week.
Oh, yeah, because Dan Jones is out. Yeah.
So it's incredible. Is it a curse or a jinx or I don't know, but it's – I'm going to do that sometime. I'm going to do that to 1999 and see how many of these quarterbacks I can just name instead of the lyrics and see how far I get in the
Would you want to time it up, you know, like start the song and then start reading off the players? Oh, I thought you were going to lay down a track or something like that.
I'll
you know?
Do that too. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. But to answer your question, I mean, Jeff Garcia was a good player, but he wasn't
not
great there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't know. Colt McCoy a little bit. I mean, even Baker Mayfield, he broke that playoff drought.
Right,
he's not there anymore.
That is just, I mean, that's, you know, when you look at bad quarterback situations over the years, that probably has to be right up there. I was thinking Jets, but at least Mark Sanchez had some success with the Jets. He won a playoff game. You know, I don't know about anybody on that list.
Right. Yeah, and there are a couple of these guys, I got to be honest, like, I'm not sure I remember that guy at all. Do you remember Thad Lewis? I mean, maybe a little bit. Doesn't really ring a bell.
I don't know. There you go. That's why Cleveland has not had success in decades.
It's a rather important position, I would say.
Exactly. The most important position in all of sports. You got to get that right, and they haven't.
Yeah. Emil Fragoso will get it right, our 49er insider, SackdownSports.com. He's going to join us. And tell us what it is about the Browns, if anything, that actually concerns the 49ers. Next year, Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.